Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 17, please. The Bible says, and he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. When he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit go on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer believing, ye shall receive. So the title of my message is, if ye have faith. Let's pray. Our Lord, as we go to your word this morning, we commit this service to you and pray that the Holy Ghost would take the powerful word of God and touch every heart in a supernatural way. Lord, may we leave changed by your word today. We're so blessed to be here and be able to assemble around our Savior and his word. And Lord, we want to hear from you today. So may we push aside our distractions, open our hearts, and allow you to do a mighty work in our lives. And we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, we started a series on prayer. And today is number three. I guess the first one, Psalm 66. We understood that you cannot come to God and have an effective prayer life if you have sin that you've not confessed. And this is talking to Christians, of course. You can't. Prayer doesn't mean anything to an unsaved person because you don't have the blood of Christ. But for saved people, our sins are forgiven, they're gone, but they do hinder our fellowship, not our relationship, our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And therefore, we must keep short accounts with God. We must be confessing our sins and dealing with them as they occur. Then last week, we looked in Proverbs 28 and other places and found that if our attitude toward God's Word is not right, it will hinder our prayer lives. Because the Word is God and God is the Word. And God wants us to be in the Word and meditating in it and memorizing it and loving it and studying it and reading it. And if our attitude is that we're not going to listen to it or we're not going to expose ourselves to it as much as we can, that will hinder our prayer lives. Now today we find that another thing that can hinder our prayer lives is unbelief. That we must have faith. And I know that sounds so simplistic, but doubting God is, in a way, blasphemous. Because God is God. He's all-powerful. He can do anything. And to doubt Him is to doubt Scriptures, to doubt the truth of God's Word, and to doubt God Himself, and it will hinder our prayer lives. And so, interestingly enough, it was a fig tree that brought this on. I mean, of all the miracles that Jesus worked, He calmed the sea, He healed people, He raised Lazarus from the dead. The disciples marveled about a fig tree withering. You would think it would be something big. That's big that He made it wither, but Jesus marveled that they marveled. That He was able to just speak the words and a fig tree would wither. And His answer to all of that in verse 21, He says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith. That's the key. It's not the size of our faith that matters, it's the size of our God. Amen? And God can do anything. You know, I hear people a lot of times, especially in certain circles, that believe that the miraculous gift of healing is still alive. And when certain people don't get healed, the argument is, oh, that person didn't have enough faith. Well, show me in the Bible where it's the magnitude of faith that matters. Didn't Jesus say that if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed? So it's not the quantity, it's the direction that matters. It's not how much faith, it's whatever faith you have in a God that can do anything. And if you do, God says the possibilities are endless. Now, there's a parallel passage in Mark 11, if you would turn over there, please. Mark 11, verse 22. which also recorded this event. But in this passage, Jesus makes a beautiful four-word statement that should just sink into our hearts this morning. This was the same event of the withering of the fig tree. But here in Mark chapter 11, notice verse 21, it says, Peter calling in remembrance saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. Four words. But those are some powerful words. Have faith in God. While you're in Mark, turn back to chapter 9, where Jesus Christ worked another miracle for a man's child. And notice in verse 23 of Mark chapter 9, the Bible says, Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I love that phrase. Jesus said, I will heal your child. All that's needed is faith. All things are possible to him that believeth. But I like his honesty. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I'm not perfect in my faith. I believe, but there's still a little bit of unbelief there. Please help me with that. And Jesus, of course, healed his child. And what we're going to find in this passage is it's about faith. Our prayers must be given in faith. You know, we're told in Hebrews 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen in Hebrews 11:1. God defines faith. But then he says on down in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God in Hebrews 11:6. Think about what God is saying there. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You cannot please God without faith. Why? Well, because God can do anything. And we wouldn't even be saved if it wasn't for faith. Right? For by grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8. We're saved through faith. When we place our faith on Jesus Christ as our only hope for heaven, we're saved. But it takes faith. It takes believing that God's word is true. Believing that Jesus died for us. Believing that He rose again. Believing that He offers us eternal life. And we place our faith in those truths. We place our faith on Him. And we're saved. And God says without faith, we cannot please Him. That goes for our prayer lives as well. We must believe. And again, I know it almost sounds too simplistic, but if we come to our prayer lives with doubt, it's going to hinder our prayers. And we'll see more of that as we walk through this passage. But he starts off by saying, if ye have faith. It was a great example in the Old Testament. Caleb, one of the 12 spies. Remember, only 2 spies gave a good report. The 10 spies gave a bad report of the promised land. And Caleb said in the Numbers 13:30, he said, we are well able to overcome it. In talking about the promised land, the other 10 spies, no, there's giants there. There's walled cities. We can't do it. They're stronger than us. Caleb said, we're well able. Why did he say that? Because he knew God was on their side. He knew God had already promised the land. He knew that God said, if you will go in and fight, you will win. Caleb had faith. And so did Joshua. They both said, let's go. God can do this. There's another passage in Matthew 9, if you would turn there, please. This is a blind man that came to Jesus. And Jesus was willing to heal the blind man. It only took one thing. Faith. Notice Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. It says, and when Jesus departed thence, 2 blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him and said, Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Sorry, it was 2 blind men, not 1. But believe. Notice his question. Believe ye that I am able. That's what it comes down to, isn't it? Is God able? When we come to Him with those hard requests, is God able to answer those things? Is God able to work those miracles? We should believe absolutely God can do anything. But if we have doubt in our minds, well, God is a great God, but I'm not sure He's able to do this, we just hindered our prayers. So He says, do you believe that I'm able? They say unto Him, yea, Lord. Then touch ye their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith in me as God, this is Jesus speaking, according to your faith, be it unto you. And He healed them. And so remember, it's not the amount of faith. It's the direction of your faith. That God is able to do all things. In Matthew 17:20, Jesus said, because of your unbelief. The Bible says in Matthew 13:58, He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He would go to certain cities and He would just bypass them. Because Jesus knew hearts. And He would know in advance, these people don't believe. I'm moving on. It's all about faith. If you have faith, Jesus says. But He also goes on to say in Matthew 17:21, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. And He picked that one because it's one of the smallest seeds there is. I don't know if you've ever seen one, but you can fit a whole bunch of them on your fingertip. Why would He pick that seed? Because He's trying to get a point across. He said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So again, it's not the quantity of your faith. It's who is your faith directed in? God. And so back to our passage, Matthew 17:21, Jesus said, if ye have faith. But He added another little phrase here in Matthew 17:21, three words, and doubt not. That really is the key. If we come to God in prayer and we have doubts, it's going to hinder our prayer life. Which, that's the nature of God. Because God is Almighty. God is omnipotent. And for us to doubt God is essentially the same as an unsaved person doubting that the gospel, that Jesus Christ through the gospel can save them. And so as Christians, when we doubt, we're essentially saying God isn't able. And that never works. And so what happened? They got to the promised land, Israel. Caleb and Joshua said, we are well able. Let's do this. Let's take the promised land. The other 10 spies says, we can't do it. It's impossible. And so what did God do? Because of their unbelief, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, they had to wander in the desert for 40 years. And all those people that doubted God died in the desert when they could have gone into the promised land and enjoyed the blessings of the promised land. It all came down to doubting God. Isn't that sad? They doubted God. So if we take that Old Testament illustration and bring it to our lives, when we doubt God, we often end up wandering in the desert too. God's not answering our prayers. Our spiritual lives aren't what they should be. Because we're doubting God. We have to be ever so careful about this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, where God, again, is using Israel as an example of unbelief. And I just want you to see what God has to say. What happens? Because God refers to it as an evil heart. That's some pretty strong words. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Notice verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that he should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Doubting God will hinder our prayers. Go to James chapter 1, the next book after Hebrews, where again James makes it very clear that our God is a prayer-answering God, that God wants to answer our prayers, but the thing that will limit those prayers is, sure enough, unbelief. Notice James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What a great truth. If you need wisdom, ask God. But look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think about what he just said there in verse 7. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. What man? The man that wavers. That's doubting. Can God really do this? Is God really capable of answering this prayer? Of course He is. Is He going to answer it in your timing? No. He's going to answer it in His timing. But He's capable, and that's the key. Never doubt the ability of God, because it will limit our prayer lives. And so back to our passage, Matthew 17, finishing verse 21. Jesus said, "You shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." Jesus says the possibilities are endless. If what? If you have faith. David conquered Goliath through a God that is able. Gideon conquered an entire multitude with 300 people through a God that was able. And we could go on and on with Old Testament examples of people that just had faith. Hebrews 11 was written to record all these people that had faith and all the things they did through God's power because they had faith. Jeremiah said, "There is nothing too hard for thee," in Jeremiah 32:17. Jeremiah believed that God could do anything. I've heard it said, only God can move mountains, but prayer and faith can move God. Because we don't move mountains and we don't wither fig trees, do we? We're just wicked sinners that deserve to go to hell. And if God works a miracle, we didn't do that miracle, did we? We prayed to a God that did the miracle. We must always keep that perspective. You know, the disciples lost sight of that because God had given them so much power, especially when He sent them on their way, and they realized they had all this power. And they came back to Jesus, and there were some people that were against Christ. And they said, "Lord," He said, "okay, if we caught on fire from heaven to kill all these people, because we sure like having this power." And Jesus had to remind them, "It's not your power. It's my power." He just gave it to them. And when we pray, it's not about us. It's not about how weak we are and how frail we are. It's about our great God that can do anything. And if we keep that perspective, then our prayers will be where they need to be. But notice verse 22 of our passage, Matthew 17. The Bible says, "In all things." If you want to circle that in your Bible, if you have permission from yourself to write in your Bible, that's a good phrase. All things. "Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer," and then comma, one word, "believing, you shall receive." Believing. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. It's all about believing. When we doubt, we hinder our prayers. The Apostle Paul, he believed that we serve a God that's able. He said in 2 Timothy 1:12, "He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." We sing a hymn with those same words. He is able, Paul said. Abraham, Romans 4:21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. the three Hebrew children and Daniel that were threatened to be thrown into the fire. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, "Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." Now, they didn't know for sure if God would, but they didn't question his ability to do so. And then if you would look at 1 John chapter 5, where John reminds us, right before he finishes his epistle, his big epistle here to Christians, that it's about faith. Trusting and believing that our God can do anything, because he can. 1 John 5, look at verse 14. "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Folks, we as God's children need to have this confidence. This confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We should have confidence to know that our God is a prayer-answering, prayer-hearing God, and that he can do anything. And if we have that confidence, it says, and if we know that he hear us, we don't doubt it, we know it, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Jesus said to the disciples that day, "Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, all things you shall receive." If, as he says in verse 21, if, there's an if clause, if ye have faith. Now, if you're in this room and you're born again, you had the faith to be born again. You had the faith to believe. Jesus died for me. Jesus rose again for me. God made the universe. God paid the price for my sin. God loves me. I believe all that. I'm going to place my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. That took faith. But as we go along in our Christian lives, trials come into our lives. It's just part of the process of God refining us. And sometimes those trials come and the devil whispers in our ear and said, "Yeah, God can do anything except this." And as soon as we start doubting God, we start hindering our prayers. If ye have faith. What a great truth. Let's take it into our prayer closets every day. Let's pray.